Hi everyone, this is Future of Work Coach Podcast. I'm Giza. Today we are going to talk about how to stand out in the job market and some interview tips to help you land a job that you love. So today we are going to talk about Golden Circle and discovering your why, put the words into your why, and tips on interviewing, and how to test yourself after the interview. If you are ready, let's get started. Okay, most of us have crossed paths with someone who absolutely love their jobs. They just don't like their job. They love it. When someone says that they love their job, what they're really saying is that they feel fulfilled at the end of the day. While they may not be able to put it into words, they feel that their job is one thing that they do in order to bring their why to life. Perhaps they even feel that they're part of a cause greater than themselves. And the fact that their job is more than a paycheck, this is the main reason that they love their job. The first step to finding a job you love is to identify what brings you fulfillment, what drives and inspires you, and you must start with the why. When we don't have a clarity of why, we tend to apply for many different positions, or perhaps worse, get stuck thinking we can only work in one industry because we have a specific skill set. We focus on what, which is our skills, rather than why, what we believe. When we focus on skill set and salary alone, we may find ourselves having to fudge things in a bit in order to make ourselves fit into the culture of companies we work for. What's wrong with this? Nothing, but managing to fit into a culture where we won't naturally thrive might land us the job, but we likely won't be going home feeling fulfilled. If you have felt this way in the past or you are feeling it right now, I want to say that you are not alone. 80% of people don't feel fulfilled by the work they do. The job search and hiring process is all about clear and consistent communication. It's very important that the things you do and the things you say, you actually believe. Whether you are writing a cover letter, sending a thank you note, or sitting in an interview, the place to start is always with why. Okay. But there is an alternative, right? A way to wake up every day inspired to the work we love when we have a clear sense of why and can clearly say it to others. We can better judge the environment, individuals, and kind of companies that inspire us. Armed with that knowledge, we have to be disciplined to only apply for the jobs that are more likely to leave us feeling enriched. In the long run, you may be applying for fewer positions, but the likelihood of you landing a job you love is much more higher. So, you guys, I don't know if you know about Golden Circle. It's from Simon Sinek. I love him. I love his work and his ideas and his optimism about the work we do. Every single organization, even our career, functions on three levels: what we do, how we do it, and why we do it. And why are some people and organizations more innovative, more influential, and more profitable than others? Even among the successful, why are so few able to repeat this success over and over? Studying the leaders who have had the greatest influence in the world, Simon Sinek discovered that they all think, act, and communicate in the exact same way, and is the complete opposite to everyone else. Sinek calls this powerful idea the Golden Circle. Most people can explain what they do. Some can explain how they do it, but very few can articulate why. Our why is the overarching purpose or cause that drives us when we are at our best. It's what inspires us to get out of bed in the morning. You are more likely to land the job you love when each step in the job-seeking process starts with why and follows the pattern of the golden circle. If you're already not familiar with this term, let's define the terms, okay? The why is the purpose, cause, or belief. Very few people can clearly articulate why they do what they do. The why is not about making money. Making money is simply a result of your why. Your why is bigger than this. No matter what you do, your why is what inspires you to take actions that bring you fulfillment and lasting happiness. Second circle is how. The actions you take to realize your why. Once you know your why, you must identify your hows. These are your nature strengths, the actions you take, or the guiding principles you live by that allow you to be at your best. And the last circle is what? The results of putting your why into action. What are tangible representations of what you believe, your career, the positions you have held, and the work you do? What are always measurable? They are the proof that you are starting with why. So, we must have clarity of why, discipline of how, and consistency of what. Operating from outside in of the golden circle by starting with what or how doesn't in reality distinguish us. Worse, it often forces us to pay more attention to outside forces in order to determine who we are or why we do things. We may become obsessed with our competition or begin to fret over what we lack. Like, I don't have any master's degree, I don't have enough work experience, I don't have a high enough salary, and so on. When we tie our happiness, who we are, and what we believe to the whims of the outside world, we feel unstable. We are not at our best. That's where the why comes in. When we operate from inside out of the golden circle, we determine how the market perceives us. Being able to clearly state our why allows us to explain the reason we choose to do things we do. We live in a tangible world, I know that. And the only way people know what we believe is by the things we say and do. When we know our why, we can choose to do and say the things that reflect what we believe. So, this is all about looking back at the experiences we had while we were growing up. Our family, teachers, hobbies, jobs, and other experiences are all contributors to the formation of our why. If we use it as a filter, we can make decisions more easily, know what we will allow us to thrive, and avoid what won't. So let's start with this exercise. If your pens, pencils, or notebooks are ready, we are going to write something down, okay? Please try this. Think about three or four of the specific experiences in your life when you were at your best. What made you so successful or happy in those specific examples? Secondly, if you were to tattoo one verb on your body, what would it say? And if everyone in the world were to tattoo, the verb you tattoo on your body, what kind of word would it be? The next question is, if they build a statue of you after you die, in one sentence, what will the plaque say? And finally, please complete this following statement. I wake up every day inspired to blank so that blank. Okay. Let's jump into tips on interviewing. What to say after your resumes get you in the door? After our resume or CV has inspired someone to invite us in for an interview, we need to prepare. Most of the people think it's a natural progress, that you don't need any preparations, you just be spontaneous, go there and explain yourself. I don't find it very, very healthy or successful, because we need to make some preparations. I find like dating is kind of an interview, and interview is kind of a dating. It's a weird thing to say, but we have to know who we are going to be in this interview, okay? You can look it up and from LinkedIn page, from not like a stalker, okay? But the thing that if you know who is the interviewer, you might find some ground rules or similar grounds of you to talk about. We sometimes think that we are at the mercy of the interviewer, but often a good resume can help dictate the direction of the interview. If our CV offers interesting experiences we're talking about, the chances are good that an interviewer will ask about them. So, look for the things you have in common with the interviewer. You may find it helpful to take a few minutes before the interview to refresh yourself on that information so you can speak about it. Let's start with tip number one. Start with why. Interviewers often jump straight into what you have done. They ask questions about your experience, past employment, goals, and so on. Do what you can do to answer those questions in a way that communicates more about who you are. I'm going to tell you some common questions that interviewers ask to focus on who you are or what you do. Just try to look or hear the responses that I'm going to suggest, and you might use it as a guide. But it's so important that you come up with your own terms and your own words. Okay, the sample question one is, tell me something about yourself. Or can you please briefly describe yourself? I know that these questions seem so simple, but yet it's the most hardest question that the candidates face. But it's so hard to summarize your whole life experiences into a bunch of sentences. And if you haven't practiced it at home before the interview, you may struggle it, and it can be the bumper beginning for the interview. So instead of talking about where you're from or where you took your last vacation, use this opportunity to tell your interviewer a story that provides some flavor of who you really are. The stories that bond us together. So tell a story from your childhood, connecting with your work experiences. Tell a story about what you really love to do. The story is so important, so please write your own story. Sample question two is, why are you interested in working here? another bumper question. Because you might say, okay, what a cliche, I'm here already, right? But this is a trick question. It's not really a question about them. It's a question about you. What they really want to know is, what is it about them or the work they do that inspires you? Although you're talking about them, you are telling them about yourself. Like an example response for this question can be this. I wake up every day to revel in who I am and support and encourage others to do the same. When I was looking at your website, it said your vision is to inspire people to do the things that inspire them, and I got goosebumps. By myself, I'm certain I can make a positive difference in the life of those around me. But if I were to join your team, I can't even imagine what I could do. I know that I've only got a limited number of days to make a positive impact, and I can see that you are operating at a level of scale that I could never achieve alone. I want to see thousands, if not millions, of people reveling, doing the things that inspire them. I believe what you believe, and I want to stand shoulder to shoulder with you, help build the world you imagine. Okay, how was that response? So sample question 3. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? Okay, another cliche question for the interview, but they might gonna ask you this. And when they ask this, we tend to jump right to the future position, raises and tangible goals when they ask this question. But it's not really this, right? Before answering this question, we must first ask ourselves what we truly want. Is moving into management, buying a bigger house, or more vacation time really the full answer to this question? What if the question were asked differently? What if we were asked, how do you want to feel in 5 years? The answer likely wouldn't be different than how we would like to feel today, right? Happy, fulfilled by the work we do, and smart, these kind of things. We would like to know that the work we have done has made a difference in the life of others. Please explore this question from a feeling perspective and see what you come up with. I would say, if they ask me this question, happy. In a place where I can do what I love personally and professionally, working with people I care about and who care about me. Isn't that what we all want? Okay, let's go to tip number 2. Be honest. It's so important that you should be honest about yourself. Sometimes we feel we need to cover our insecurities by exaggerating our achievements and accomplishments. But ironically, truly honest answers are much more powerful. They are much more sincere. Be honest about your work history and your past salary. This doesn't mean you should restrict your salary goals. When the topic of what salary you are looking for comes up, and I know many of us are having troubles answering this question, talking about money, asking about your worth. I know it can be hard, but think about it like this. If you are going to ask much more than you used to make, you can simply add, I'm asking for more, because I know that what I have learned and what I want to contribute is worth more than I used to get paid. And share what you have learned. Many of us have one or two bad spots on our resume. We have been fired, quit a job after only 3 months, or started a business that failed, having a gap year, and so on. But failure is an important part of success. Often it's where we learn our most valuable lessons. That said, on a CV, it's difficult to give context to those awkward moments in our lives. But the good news is, these questions generally come up in an interview, and our instinct is to list the reasons we failed in an effort to show that it wasn't entirely our fault. But in doing so, we missed the opportunity to share what we have learned. When asked about one of these not so attractive parts of our CV or our work history, you can give context to the reason why it was such a great part of your success. For example, I got the entrepreneur bug after a couple of years in a corporate job. An opportunity presented itself and I jumped right at it, without fully understanding the risks and potential pitfalls involved. Ultimately, it failed from a business perspective, but I learned more during that time than I did from an entire business degree. Now, when I consider a new project or opportunity, I draw on the experience and what I learned the hard way. I'm smarter about how to assess and manage risks now, and I can spot red flags that may lead to poor decisions and failure. Which is better, right? Okay, be yourself. Being yourself requires honesty. The more willing you are to be yourself, the more likely you are about to find a job that's a great fit. Be comfortable in your own skin, in the way you dress, talk, and act. That doesn't mean you should wear jeans and shirts to an interview, if that's inappropriate, of course. It simply means that if you feel out of place in a tie or dress, blouse or high heels, wear something else that's appropriate and be confident in how you present yourself. I remember my first job interview. I have a curly hair and I went to hairdresser, make it flatten, wear high heels, which I hate, jacket, which I hate, skirts, and it wasn't me. It was never close to who I represent, but I thought that it was appropriate. But I didn't do this since then because that's not me. The goal is to be the person, the same person at work, as same confident, some relaxed person that you are in your social life. When you're clear on your why and your hows, they help you articulate who you are as a person. What you do, like your job, your friends, your hobbies, are just opportunities for you to be in alignment with your why and hows. So, we come to tip number 3. How to answer the question, what are your weaknesses? A stressful question, isn't it? But they love asking this question. This is another trick question. The interviewer wants to know if you are self-aware, how well do you know yourself. They actually want to know that you can work around and overcome things you are not great at. This is a great question that the interviewer most likely care about how you answer this question. And there's a great tactic for navigating this section. When you're asked this question, the key is to focus on your strengths and the situation or circumstances in which those strengths may come as a weaknesses. Companies don't hire based on weakness. They hire based on strength. Please do not forget about this. So rather than saying what you're not good at, talk about your positions of strength. Because the person across the table is not your therapist, is not your friend, is not your buddy, is not your teacher or mentor. You cannot be 100% deeply honest about your weaknesses, okay? This part, it may need a little bit work. But that doesn't mean that you have nothing but strengths. Some things you may really not be good at. In that case, frame your weaknesses in the context of other people's strengths. I can give you some examples about this, all right? Like you can say, I find that I do much better when I work with someone who's great with details. I tend to be up 50,000 feet most of the time, and I need someone who can work with me on the details because that's not my strength. Or you can say, I have learned that I need to work in teams. When I have others to brainstorm with and be accountable to, I'm at my best. I find that I struggle when I work alone. Or you can say, I'm really an idealist. And I have a huge desire to rush forth and do good in the world. If I work with people who are very money-driven, I can get frustrated with that. Or finally, you can say, I'm the kind of person that tries on knowing the reason behind the work I'm doing. If I know how my piece of the puzzle fits into the big picture, I can do my best work. When I'm not giving a clear sense of purpose or this destination, I struggle. Okay, so if you are ready, let's go to tip number 4. You interview them. Perhaps the most important paradigm shift in preparing for an interview is to realize that we are interviewing the company as much as they are interviewing us. While it's important to get across an essence of who we really are, it's as important to learn who they really are. Not every company will be the right fit for you. Landing a job we love is more than just landing a job. It's important for us to identify the type of environments that allow us to be at our best. This is where our really, truly, our discipline come in. So, you can have a sense of this kind of environment. You can look at your past experiences. You can just compare 3 projects or 3 jobs that felt like great success that you loved. You can write down these questions while comparing these 3 jobs or projects that you loved. Be very specific. Okay, what role did you play in this job or project? What was the environment like? The workspace, stress level, information you had or needed? And what kind of people were around you? Who did you love working with? Specifically, what kind of work were you doing? What were you contributing to the project or job that no one else on the team could contribute? And finally, what is it about this project or job that you loved? When you ask yourself these questions for your past experiences, you can have a pattern, that sense of a place, a belonging that you are seeking for. Or your new job. And then you can easily see the red flags of this new company, if it's going to be right fit for you. Okay? So, the thing is that they are going to ask you about, do you have any question to us in interviews? You can ask these kind of questions. How are employees evaluated? Can you please describe the attributes of an employee that's considered successful here? What is the culture here like? Or how does this company handle mistakes? You can ask these questions to the interviewers. And tip number 5, listen for clues. What the interviewer says, and more importantly, what the interviewer doesn't say, can be helpful when determining if the company will be a place where you'll be like you belong. For example, fear of admitting unfavorable elements about the company could be an indicator that the culture discourages employees to talk about the things that bother them, rather than providing an open forum for feedback and positive change. You can, during the interview, you can get a sense of the culture and the people you'll be working with by noticing the way your interviewer interacts with you and others you may be introduced to. And tip number 6, say thank you. This important step is often overlooked or forgotten in the interview process. It's a simple yet very powerful concept. Be grateful for the opportunity. Depending on the company and the dynamics of the culture, the method you choose, if you are going to send an email, if you are going to send a LinkedIn message, if you are going to send another type of card, maybe, the way you go, okay? For others, maybe an email may feel better. The format is not important as the action itself. Use this thank you card or an email not only to express your gratitude, but to remind them of who you are and how you can make a positive contribution to the company. Here are some ideas about this thank you note. A sincere expression of gratitude for the interview. A brief recap of your understanding of the company's needs or challenges and how you can fill those needs, maybe. And you can end with your why, one or two strong sentences to explain who you are and what you can contribute. And tip number 7, ask for feedback. I find it really important, this step, and most human resources or interviewers do not have time for this, but it's our duty to ask for feedback. Because most of us have some job interviews that didn't end up in a job offer. If you are the type of person who believes that every experience is an opportunity to learn and grow, there may be an excellent opportunity to do just that. When you get a call or just an email back about the position, which you're not selected, unfortunately, it may be appropriate to ask your interviewer for feedback. You may not ask every interviewer, but you may have a gut feeling who you can ask and who you don't have to ask. There may be some valuable lessons you can learn. Okay, most of the time, you may be given a generic reason why you were not offered the job. Someone had better qualifications, better fit, blah blah. But you never know unless you ask. Many good interviewers will have a genuine interest in you and will be happy to provide helpful feedback that may help you improve. So, everything said, everything done, and you have just finished your interview. Maybe you just closed the Zoom app or your computer, or you just returned back to home. I don't know, in this COVID time. And you are replaying this interview over and over in your head, maybe. So I'm going to give you some direction about it. Ask yourself these questions. Did I give some sense of who I am? Did my passion for who they are come through? Did they see how I can contribute to what they do? Does this job feel like a good fit for me? Can I imagine working there and being happy? Did I say things that were consistent with what I wrote in my CV and cover letter? Did I provide good examples that demonstrate who I am and what I'm capable of? What to do I want to do different the next time? Did I like the individuals that I met? Were there any red flags? Did I feel the interviewer was open and honest? Did I feel that they got me? That they saw the value of what I have to offer? Will I take this job if they offer it to me? Do I have any follow-up questions I'd like to ask if they called me or write back to me? And the final question is, can I imagine working there for a long time? Okay, you now understand the importance of communication, of the golden circle of who you are with honesty and feedbacks. People who land the job they love find their work more meaningful. They feel they are making a difference in the world and they are happy at work. People who are happy at work go home happy, and those happy people make happier spouses, partners, neighbors, friends, moms, dads, right? This is your talking about, if you are talking about your CV, cover letter, elevator pitch, and interview experience itself can make the difference between finding a job you can tolerate 5 days a week and the job you absolutely love. A job that will be a reflection of who you really are. When you're on a job hunt, it's easy to focus on salary, benefits, and perks as the compensation packages. Remember, those perks are important. I'm not naive, but they aren't the only things that matter. They don't bring lasting happiness, as we all know, as science backs up this. Lasting happiness, fulfillment, comes from making a contribution to something bigger than ourselves. Okay, last but not least, I love to hear your experiences, and I'm always striving toward continuous improvement. I love your feedbacks and stories that maybe this podcast is going to change. If you land the job you love, can you please let me know so I can celebrate it with you? You can just say hi from futureofworkcoach.com. I will be so happy to hear your story. And this is the world I'm working to build. And by finding a job you love, you're helping me to build it too. Thank you for being a part of this moment. And hope to see you in next episodes. This is Future of Work Coach Podcast. And I'm Gizem. Hope to see you in next episodes.